Uh-oh.
Happy fucking happy hour. Wow, wow, wow. You know how, John, you make every gay woman that comes in here gayer?
Yes.
Whatever was happening right now has just made me, like, I think I'm straight now. Alonzo Bowden, welcome to the happy hour.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here. I'm honored that we finally meet. This is all good. And your dog.
You sound like Barry White. Seriously, I think I've already gotten moist several
times. All right,
times.
I'm good with that. Hello, Stephanie.
Hi.
How's that?
You are handsome devil. Yes, you are.
I went a little too far because John got involved. I got to turn it back a notch.
Hey, Steph. How's every little thing, Steph?
Getting John all moist. It just got weird.
I don't know why. The minute he walked in the door, John, I was hearing, hang on in there, baby.
And by the way, he pulled up in a motorcycle.
I heard you have like a zillion motorcycles.
Yeah, I am a
Even
bike nut.
Fucking hotter.
I am a bike nut. That's
I got a Harley, Alonzo.
Do you?
Yeah, you?
No, I had one. I've never been a Harley guy. And last year, like all my friends ride them, I said, all right, I'm going to get a Harley. And I got a Harley, took it to the shop. The guys I work with said, put, the fat tire on the back.
Yeah, yeah.
Once you tell them to do that, what they hear is, oh, we have an unlimited budget to make a custom motorcycle. So,
yeah, they rob you there.
Yeah, they're like, well, once we put the tire on, we put a fender on. We had to paint the fender. Well, we might as well paint the whole bike. And then we figured we polished it because, then you had to put different hands. And I was like, so it's just your custom bike. They're like, pretty much. So they built the bike. It took them 6 months. They got it on the cover of a magazine because, that's their business, promotion, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
I rode it twice. I was like, sell it. It just wasn't my thing. Can't get into, I ride a BMW, I've got a Triumph and I just can't get into the Harley vibe. I get it. And it's like great for the people who are into it, but not my thing.
So are you just trying to make women insane? Is that the deal? Just the whole, because you got a little James Earl Jones voice going on with.
It does.
If I
Barry
do,
White with-
if I make the women insane, I guess I miss it or I find out too late. I'm a comic, Steph. We're, no matter how cool we appear, on some level, we're socially inept. So you leave. I remember this had to be almost 20 years ago, working with Sherry Shepherd.
Right.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
And
from
this
the,
back
the view.
When Sherry was doing stand-up,
Right.
We do a gig together. We're sitting there doing the autographs, selling CDs or whatever, and it's girl walks away and Sherry's like, that girl was totally hitting on you. I'm like, could you tell me while she's here? Do you have to wait until she's gone and I'll never, like, kick me under the table or something? If I'm missing the hint, let me know. So thank you. Thank you, Stephanie.
No, you are. Me listen, being me. I watched a little bit of your Showtime special. Fucking hilarious.
Thank you.
And when is that going to be on?
Tomorrow night, 9 o'clock. It premieres February 19th, 9 p.m. on Showtime. Historically Incorrect. I recorded it at the Vic Theater in Chicago. And you know what's great? You do topical humor.
Right.
Right? And then you give it to TV. And TV says, well, we got to get it ready. We got to blah, blah, blah. Then we just got to wait 5 months so that everything's old.
You're like Lincoln being shot, not current anymore?
Right.
Really?
Then we'll put it on air. Fortunately, society keeps me current. So I do jokes about Ray Rice beating a woman. And Johnny Manziel beats a woman just to keep me on top of things.
I love that
bit. So, thank you.
You do a bit about you were glad to see that there's a morals clause.
Yeah, yeah.
The NFL.
The NFL morals clause, the most unknown, unused rule ever. There's a morals clause in the NFL. Like, there are more criminals. They celebrated this past September. They celebrated. It was the first month in 8 years. Not one player got arrested.
Oh!
They literally keep that as a stat.
Jeez. Bam!
And yet, when the gay guys showed up, they whipped out the morals clause and said, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know if we can have this gay guy. Right. I don't know if we have this gay guy interfere with our wife beaters. Yes. Yeah, so,
might also upset the murderer. So we need to, right.
The other funny thing about it, which I didn't even think about this, but my agent told me after they sold the special, he said, CBS owns Showtime and has a billion-dollar deal with the NFL.
Uh-oh.
They had some concerns.
I just love that call from your agent. There's some concern.
Yeah.
Alonzo?
But it was fine, and they didn't edit it out or anything. So thank you. Yeah. It's
because
great.
You were already having your little testosterone frenzy, sports frenzy with John when you came in.
Yeah. You know, I'm a sports guy. I love sports. But honestly, the NFL, it's gone too far. There's just too many criminals. There's just too much crime.
Right.
And it literally makes it hard to enjoy the league. You know, it's like, look, who isn't, you know, sex abuse or beating women or not paying for, you know, 15 kids they have or what. And, you know, I get it on some point, right? You're a young kid. You're in your early 20s. They give you a few $1 million. You lose your mind.
Right.
But there has to, the league, somebody has to do something to just, like, let's play football. Stop giving me a crime report every game, you know? So I hope that the NBA cleaned it up.
At the beginning of the game now, they just use the mugshots when they say, tight end.
Well, at least JPP only hurt himself.
Yeah. I mean,
I shocked you, didn't I? I knew a sports reference because you were talking about baseball.
Yes.
And I said, I remember when Daryl Strawberry said, I hope L.A. burns during the riots. And I was like, well, we feel the same about your nasal membranes, you fucking coke free. So go fuck yourself. Because
now, you know, Daryl cleaned up, but I have to say, Daryl was great for me in the 90s. I wrote a bit, a Daryl Strawberry cocaine bit. He brought it back every 2 years. Daryl was like, hey, I'm going to make that current again by getting kicked off another team, you know, so.
I need Dick Cheney to shoot somebody again, because I used to have a bit about that.
Yeah, the editor of Showtime's like, oh, no, it's fine again.
Yeah.
It's new again. It's all new.
There we go. Let's rerun it.
You're from Queens, New York. You're a New York boy.
Yes, grew up in Queens. Grew up in St. Albans, Queens. Did not know it was the hood until 50 Cent mentioned it in a song. We all lived in a working class black neighborhood. Actually, my friends who did live in the hood, I had friends in Bed-Stuy, Brooklyn, South Bronx. And they used to tease me about living in the country because we had a backyard. You know, we had a two-car garage.
That's the country.
With two cars in it. You know, it was honestly, it was like a working class suburb, like, you know, parts of Inglewood or something like that.
Right.
Next thing you know, Fitty's calling it the hood. We're like, whoa,
what?
No.
What?
We visited the hood. We now property values are down. But that's where I grew up, St. Albans. Loved it.
I don't know if people know, but you are you won Last Comic Standing.
Yes.
Fucking A.
Yes.
Mic drop in the house. You were the runner-up the year before, and then you won Last Comic Standing,
Came back. I was runner-up season
just
two.
Just a poor farm boy from Queens.
That's right. Just a farmer. Just suddenly got a microphone and a dream. I had a great run on the show. A lot of people, you know, knocked the show, and a lot of comics were like, you can't compete, and blah, blah, blah. Look, it was what it was. It got me on primetime TV. I had a great time doing it. We're still friends. There was some friction between some of the contestants while we were doing it because when we did it, it was still a reality show. So we had to live actually not far from here. You know that castle where they do the porn movies and stuff like that? Seriously, at the top of Bronson. Are you familiar with this?
Yeah.
It's an old castle somebody built, and that's what they used it for. Like,
I did a few movies there.
Well, there you go. John knows it.
I don't know why he's looking at me first.
It's not far from here. It's the other side of the hill. But anyway, we had to live there for like 3 weeks, and the producers would do everything they could to get us to fight. You know, but we're comics, so we're like, nah, I'm just lay on the couch and read a book. But you go ahead and argue amongst yourselves, you know. But it was a great experience, and like I said, still friends now. And Last Comic introduced me to America. Also, big fat check.
Nice.
And everyone said, you know, you should invest in real estate. You should get into real estate. So I bought a house in 2006.
Yep.
Yeah, that money's gone.
Me too.
And you know the feeling. Oh. Right? Oh, yeah.
GW.
Yeah, you're going to have some equity. Yeah, okay. Plenty of equity. So now I'm working two jobs. But literally,
we have a fantastic subprime mortgage for you. Come,
yes,
bought. You know, prices are only going up.
I had a nice little two bedroom condo. I said that, you know, I'm going to upgrade. Ended up buying a house in the suburbs, which, first of all, that was a big mistake. Beautiful new house.
Where?
So Valencia. Beautiful new house, but I hated it because I'm in the middle of suburbia and cul-de-sacs and all of that. You know, so finally I got out of it. In 2009, and literally buy high, sell low. That's my real estate advice, kids. If you got too much money laying around.
Listen to Uncle Alonzo, everybody.
If you got too much money laying around, first sell the place that's a solid investment, then buy a big place that you hate, then sell that, lose everything, and start renting. For God's sake.
You are not getting a late night infomercial. Can I tell you that right now?
No, you didn't. You're not. Jesus. You're not sending me your money right now. I thought that was going to get me some investors.
Here's my favorite thing in your Wikipedia. Before you worked in show business, you worked for Lockheed Martin?
Yeah.
The defense contractor?
Yes. My first, it's what brought me to L.A. I grew up in New York. I went to aviation high school. I learned to fix airplanes. And Lockheed hired basically about 400 to 500 graduates from my school over a 2-year period. 18 years old, we were building the stealth fighter, the most top secret airplane.
Wow.
And you know, this was the one that we used in the first Gulf War back in 90. You got to number your Gulf Wars because Bushes just keep going there. you number your Gulf Wars like you number your Bush presidents. But anyway, yes, so I worked on that, and then...
When you say number your bushes, that means something different for a lesbian. Hey, go ahead.
I understand.
That means something for me every 4 years.
Not ever.
Wow, John, every 4 years. You're scaring me again. Uh-oh. But he spiked up his hair right now, ladies and gentlemen. So
oh, my God, he has a date tonight. He's all glazed.
I'm all glazed and gelled.
He's glowing. He's glowing.
Like a femme.
So, yeah, I worked on those, and I rebuilt some airplanes. That was really interesting. And I worked on some planes for people who are, there's rich and then there's the next level.
Right.
I worked for those people. I worked on planes for people who would buy a 727 and say, make it my private plane.
Wow.
I want an executive like boardroom.
It's like a motorcycle times a billion.
Yeah. So what else did John Travolta tell you?
Yeah. It was.
What did you say? Did you have to French kiss him?
No. I did get to work on, I'm trying to remember this. Millionaire's name. He was a publisher. He was Malcolm Forbes.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh.
I did get to work on Malcolm Forbes.
Did he have to kiss
John
Travolta? No, stop it. I don't know go ahead.
Yeah, I got to work on Forbes' jet, and many, many Arab sheiks own airplanes that we used to build for them.
Wow.
Yeah.
Here's a weird connection between you and I. Used to clean planes at the Van Nuys Airport when I was right out of college.
Oh no!
Oh well, that's
the only job I could get.
So you saw these planes because that's
no,
where
they're just little fuckers. Oh, I had to like clean the planes and then like check them out to go up. I didn't know fuck all. I just was like, yep, this all looks good. I put a tag on it.
Oh God!
Yeah, my college roommate's boyfriend had some connection. He's like, yeah, I can get you a job. And then sometimes I had to back the planes back into the thing, and I smashed one into the hangar, and I got fired.
No!
Up.
Are you serious?
I was like, I don't know what the fuck I'm doing. Yeah. Why are you letting me drive a little plane? I don't know what the fuck to get this thing in the...
Wow.
And I was one of the guys who would fix those.
No, I was just mostly cleaning, and I'm like, wow, bugs don't look like bugs at this... Ooh, this is... Ugh. Cleaning this is shitty.
Yeah, it was a fun business, though. I enjoyed it while I did it. You know, so
I had a question for you.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. It's yes,
because
sir.
Because you became a judge on
Last Comic.
On Last Comic. And my question, because as a comic, I was going, do you like to sit and judge other comics? Was it something that you...
You know what it was? It was being on the other side of the table. I don't know if you do auditions or if you've done auditions.
Of course I have.
Okay. Well, no, I know you...
I have a resume of ones I didn't make. Get it.
Well, yeah. Well, so you know. So it was being on the other side of the table. And two things happened. One, I felt much better about winning when I saw how many people tried out. I was like, because when you're doing show, like my whole strategy doing the show, survive until next week.
Yeah,
like
every
week someone, and then you that's look
I,
up.
That's how I am in the show.
And yeah, you know, you're doing the same thing.
He didn't audition for this. He was just like, please. I was like, oh, okay. Jesus, just take a bath once in a while.
So I didn't know how big it was. So when I'm a judge and you literally see hundreds of people line up city to city, you're like, wow, I beat a lot of people. But anyway, this is how I would break it down.
How many people? How many people start at
tried out?
Tens of thousands.
I would say, without exaggerating, thousands.
Wow.
I would say I would say probably 4,000 or 5,000.
You are even hotter now. Yeah.
Thank you.
Oh my God. I didn't think it was possible.
I can't even focus when she talks like that.
Are you married?
Hot.
Are you married?
No.
Really?
No.
You know, because I'm in a very vulnerable, weird period post-breakup.
Breaking it down for 100%, you had 10% that were train wrecks, had no business being there, and were hilarious to watch. And these were the people
in a bad way.
We had everything from ex-porn stars to we had some guy that came in a kilt and did a whole Viking rant. And, you know, just.
I saw that one. I saw that episode.
Insane. So that was 10%. Then you had like 80% was in that.
Maybe.
Good. They were good comics. They were usually they'd been doing it about 3 to 5 years, maybe 6 or 7 years. Not ready yet.
Yeah.
Good comics, funny, maybe road headliners or, you know, middle acts or whatever. So you had them. Then you had, like, when you got into the final 10%, then it got difficult because you had some that were slam dunk. They're going to be on the show. You know, they were ready. They'd done their time. They paid their dues. They're funny. They're sharp. Then you had the hardest was the 5% where you're good enough, but why pick this one over that?
Yeah,
one?
Yeah.
And the other thing that was weird, and this was very weird for me, I was a judge for people I had opened for. You know what I mean?
Like
Bob Zaney comes out. I used to work for Bob Zaney when he booked one-nighters up and down. I'm like, how do I judge this? This guy, he helped me when I started, you know, and Shoemaker and old veterans like that, where you're just like, I can't sit here and tell you you're not funny. Yeah. You know, just some of them, though, would pick the wrong material, you know.
But I always said, because I go, well, that's going to be hard to judge your friends, like we're saying. And then they offered me to be the guest judge.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, how much is it? 20 grand? Yeah, of course, I'll do it.
Yeah, and the cool thing
I would love to. I, you know what? I'm not judgmental, but for 20 grand, I will be so fucking judgmental.
And most of the
comics, that's how shallow I am.
So. You know, most of the comics got it. You know, they know, like, hey, it's a job. It's a gig. You know, you're doing your thing, and, you know, they're not going to get mad at you. You know
what's so funny? It reminds me of, I don't know if you know, Karen Murayama from The Groundlings. She's been in a bunch of films. She's hilarious. But she was my teacher at The Groundlings, and I'll never forget, she flunked me.
Oh.
From going from one level to the next or whatever. And then I got my late night TV show opposite Leno and Letterman, and I was hiring an ensemble. And she was auditioning, and I'll never forget, she came in the room, just like you could see the look on her face, like, me. Anyway, I hired her. You know what, Alonzo, this is a story about how wonderful I am. Oh. That was what this...
Yeah, you're a beautiful person.
No, but she is fucking hilarious, and she was she was just fucking hilarious, and you hire the best person.
Well,
and you're right, you put that shit aside.
Did she give you a good grade after you hired her?
It's like, can I get back in the Groundlings when this late night show will inevitably fail? Can I get to the next level?
Listen, I love Last Comic, but just like any other show, you know who didn't win Last Comic? Amy Schumer.
Oh my God.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Fluffy was kicked off for having a cell phone in his pocket. Yeah.
I didn't know Amy Schumer.
Yeah, Amy tried out. No, Amy did the show. Amy was, I think, season 5 or 6 or something like that. Yeah, she was on. So they don't always get the gems.
No. Well, how far did you make it the first time around?
The first time I was runner-up. I came in second.
Wow.
Yeah.
We covered this already. God damn it. How many beers are you in?
No.
He was the runner-up, and then he won the next season.
No, I know. I didn't know which one runner-up. There was a
John Heffron and I, we back-to-back, we were like,
no, I love John.
One season I was runner-up, and he won. The next season I won, and he was runner-up. And we've agreed to never compete in anything on any level again.
Let's move on to your death wish. So you own many motorcycles.
I do.
You got blind in your Ducati, whatever the fuck, while racing, you shattered your scaphoid. What is
this
a scaphoid?
This is a
requiring surgeries and a bone graft. Okay.
About Wikipedia that you can't say. I'm honored by whoever wrote that and has me racing Ducati motorcycles. I'm like, thank you. I was riding a Ducati and I went off the track. It wasn't a race. It was just like, you know, fun. It's like a club thing. We go out, you ride on a racetrack, but you're not racing. I've been around people who race and it's like, it would be like me playing basketball with someone from the NBA. Like, technically we're both playing basketball. Kind of a different game, you know, but the scaphoid, I'll tell you, I learned about the scaphoid.
Yes.
There are 7 bones in your
wrist.
My point is,
please don't die. We've only just met each other.
No, I won't.
Okay, go ahead.
7 bones in your wrist. The scaphoid is the worst one to break.
In your wrist.
Because it ruins your sex life.
No. Still
that
got a
John's sex life would be fucking gone, man.
This is when I knew things were serious, when the doctor, and we're still friends to this day, you know how they have the x-rays up in that lighted box and you're looking at it, and I'm standing next to him, and he just looked at me like, wow, you really fucked this up, didn't you?
Fuck this
and
shit
I'm like,
up, man.
That's, you're a doctor, you're allowed to say, like, That's your medical. He's, man, this is fucked up. I don't know if I can.
I had that
this.
When I broke my foot. I just had a doctor go, ooh.
Yeah.
I was like, what?
So, yeah, I'm back. I'm fine. And don't worry, I won't kill myself on a bike. Bang myself up now and then, but never.
All right, give me, okay, tell me everything. Everybody else is going to recede into the background.
Yeah,
tell me everything.
I need a beer anyway.
Have you been married? Or are you?
I have never been married. I've come close. I've made some dumb moves.
Oh, my God, and, you're me.
Yeah.
You're the black male me.
And, no, I am a single guy. No kids. Wow. No kids. I'm the brother with no kids. There's four of us. We meet regularly. There's only four of us. You know, one of them died in a horrible accident.
God damn it.
Hey, well, I wish it was being racist, but, you know, some things, there's certain stereotypes we'll take. You know, we'll just take that one. And
so what? Don't tell me about that. What do you mean you had?
Well, no kids because maybe it is old fashioned. I don't know what it is, but I know what it is. I started comedy late. I started comedy when I was 30. So when most people have kids, right, between 30 and 40, I'm making $50 a week as an opener.
Right.
Not pulling a lot of women on the air.
Right.
Listen,
it's not a big.
I'm going to go ahead and throw my $50 in, and how much do you make? You know, so that didn't work. But then, yeah, there's just been a couple of times.
But you got hot and smart and funny going for you.
Yeah, well, things got better. You know, in my 40s, things started falling into place and rolling. I met this fantastic woman. She was funny, smart. She was a lawyer. And I fucked that up. I think I was afraid.
You should have stopped at that.
I was afraid to move her to L.A. She lived in a different city.
No, trust me. He's talking my language.
Yeah, so I screwed that up. And then more recently, a few years ago, I had this fantastic woman. And the only way I describe it is I punished her for not reading my mind. It was like she didn't understand the depth of the problems I was going through. And if you don't understand, you must not love me. Not that I'm going to tell you anything. You're supposed to just know. So, yeah. So I let that one go. And then when
so
I
you
went
need to
back,
date Miss Cleo, the late night psychic.
I guess so.
Yes.
I guess so. Uh-huh. But then I got to pay, what, $10 a minute?
Exactly a minute. But which, it might not, be worth it.
That's actually kind of cheap on today's
because she'll
market.
Know what you were thinking.
Yeah.
That's the chicks I get in Vegas.
That's happened. And then, you know, dating. I mean, I'm a road comic, though. I'm on the road all the time. Yeah. So it's, you know, women want you to be home at 6 p.m. I'm like, look, I'll be home Tuesday, and then I'm out again
I'll
Thursday.
I'll be Tuesday at 6 p.m. But then,
yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
do you want to get married? Too late for kids, or want kids?
Not so much. I'm not driven to have kids.
Yeah.
You know, but marriage, I'm open to it. If I found the right woman, if she could put up with me and it was easy. You know, I'm an old bachelor. I've, like, set in my ways, so it's difficult to compromise. Not that I can't.
Right.
But it would be like, what? I got to, you know, so.
I got to not watch the, I got to find out.
It's not.
I got to take ESPN off my.
I don't think it's those things. Most things I'm pretty easy, but there would be some things I might be a little stubborn about that might be difficult that, I'm trying to think. I don't know. I'm known to be stubborn about certain things, so I don't know what they might be, but if we ran into one of those. But most things, like watching TV or whatever, and I love women, you know.
Yes,
I love women, and
I think we all do.
But I mean, like,
yes,
like
we
there's certain
we're
things,
all with you on that.
Certain things about women, like beautiful, sexy. Uh-huh. You know, I buy women clothes. I buy them shoes. Like women, I have a lot of women that I know as friends and stuff over there, and they're like, "You give great gifts." It's like, yeah, because I like doing it.
You got like
a
little like gay man gene, but you're like all straight man.
Well, the style of it is phenomenal. The style, I like that. Because, you know, some people like, that's shallow. It's like, no, it's not. They, you know, go ahead and look fantastic. That's why I like women instead of girls. Because girls don't have it together yet. And they're either trying too hard.
Right.
Or they're I'm not going to be sexy. It's like,
so you're looking for a mature
that.
Woman, smart
yeah,
and funny.
Yeah, yeah.
That
yeah.
you can buy footwear for.
With a radio show. Mm-hmm. Who knows how to walk in heels. All right.
Who's bronzed her ass?
Where'd you come from?
Damn.
He just ruined it again.
You know what? I'm leaving to get a beer.
We had a moment.
Where are you going?
I'm going to get a beer.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
His timing's horrible.
Look at him. He cannot live without. He has a 12 pack and the whole thing is gone.
He's probably going to have a smoke while he's up there.
Yeah, smoke. So, Alonzo. Oh, now that, let's take this opportunity while John's gone.
This is the greatest interview. How'd they take you off of late night TV when you were doing? You were ahead of your time.
Yeah,
That's what it was.
You know what I found, Alonzo? It is not good to be ahead of your time. It's better to be right on time, because if you're ahead of your time, you're kind of fucking working your basement.
Yeah, but honestly, like today, this would be great. But when you did it, they were like, hey.
They were like, what the fuck?
Slow down, racy girl. What the hell?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's exactly right. Mm-hmm. So wait, siblings, where are your parents
still alive?
What's the deal?
Lost my dad. My mom's still alive.
Me too.
Funniest person I know. I absolutely get my sense of humor from my mother.
Aww.
I love her. She makes me laugh all the
time.
Still
in Queens?
Yeah, she's still in the house we grew up in.
Wow.
My brother, older brother, we're real close. I gave him a kidney 3 years ago. I don't know if that's in the little report.
I saw that in your Showtime special. Yeah. Why'd you do that?
He owed me money.
Okay.
And I said, you ain't skating out on a bad kidney. The hell's with... No. You know, we've always been close.
It's very sweet of you.
Yeah. When he needed... Like, he had some kind of degenerative kidney thing, and his kidneys got down to 15%, and he said he had to go on dialysis. And we were just talking about it. And I said, well, I'll give you one, you know, if I can. I don't know. So I went to the doctors. More medical testing, like... If everything they said is true, I'm going to outlive my money. I got to figure out. They were like, you are healthy. You are doing great. I'm going to have to pick up some bad habits because I can't afford to get old. Not, you know.
I know, look at you. You don't drink?
No. I'm retired, though.
How many happy hour guests have we had that don't drink? What the fuck?
I know. You know,
I used to.
And he hasn't even made up for it. Swearing.
I used to. You know, I don't drink because I'm 28 years. Next month, I'm 28 years sober. We didn't talk about the crack habit in the 80s, okay? Just, you know, I've been there. That's why it doesn't bother me.
Right.
Because I've done the drug and alcohol thing, so I don't feel like I'm missing anything.
Right.
But, so I have a brother, and then I have a sister. My sister just retired. She was a principal in a school in New York, and now she teaches some college classes, and she's got two kids. They're grown up, and so there's family spread around doing okay.
So
I'm the only one three of us. I'm the only one that
are you the baby?
Showbiz. I'm the last kid.
You're the me too. I'm the baby.
I am
no,
too.
No, I wouldn't have, let me tell you something. There's a difference between being the baby and the last kid. When you're the baby, you're spoiled. When you're the last kid, they're like, sorry. Nothing left.
Nothing left for you.
We hadn't really planned on three. No. Yeah. My sister's the only girl with two brothers. So she's the one who got spoiled 100%.
Right.
She's daddy's little girl.
Right.
And me and my brother was like, all right, you two know you're getting close to 18. Time to move out. And he told us that when we were like 7. So just to let us know where we stood.
See, I'm not saying now, but pretty soon.
You might want to work on a plan.
I do notice that Alonzo and, you know, because I used to do the Artie, the Stuttering John, Artie Lang. We did all those tours. And Artie and I would be drinking and having a blast. And all the comics were, you know, Florentine and all those guys. And now I do stand up and nobody drinks.
You know what it's comics like, now? They all smoke weed. Every comic has a marijuana card, you know, and they're all suffering from ailments that somehow weed will.
They absolutely medicinally need.
No, that's what they do now. They all smoke weed.
Yeah, but they know the whole menu of Starbucks, but they don't. I mean, it's like they can get a frappuccino, they get all these coffees and stuff, and then I'm like the delinquent drinking beer.
I don't know how much drinking there is. Well, you know, here's the other thing though, John, you gotta remember, and I don't know how old you are, but I'm
obviously 35.
Yeah. Man, life's been hard. You might want to slow down.
Jesus.
Wow.
Ease up.
35, you might really want to slow down. Woo. That's not a good
answer. Shit, I'm dick for this date tonight. Got to change my Match.com profile.
But back, you know, in the 80s, drinking was a lot more accepted. Now, you get one drink and you look at a car and you get a DUI. You know what I mean? Like, all of that stuff. Like, you it's dangerous to drink now.
This is why God invented Uber.
Yeah. You get in a world of shit drinking, whereas smoking weed, you're moving too slow to get in trouble. So I think that's why.
They can't catch you. Right.
I think that's what's happening. But that's what I see them doing. You're right.
You know what's so funny?
Not a lot of crazy drinking, but definitely getting high.
Yeah, but my idol was like Sam Kinison. And I hung out with Sam Kinison.
Yeah.
I did too.
It was all coke and alcohol.
Oh, my God. I loved Sam so much. He was like, he was so good to me. When I was Sister Sleaze on the Brother Weeze Morning Circus.
Yeah.
I love Brother Weeze. You know Weeze is still at it.
Brother Weeze is my soulmate. Yes. He gave me my start in radio. So I was Sister Sleaze on the Brother Weeze, Sister Sleaze Morning Circus. And Kinnison came to town and he did. We were the radio DJs, so we introduced him. He did fucking 20 minutes on me, but it was fucking hilarious. Yeah. Like, you go as a woman, oh, I should be offended because he's doing all this. It was so goddamn funny. Like, you didn't want to laugh, but he was like, I was just fucking Sister Sleaze for like an hour backstage, and she's fucking.
Did you have sex with him?
No, of course not. Oh. But it was just fucking hilarious. Yeah. And I mean, I remember I answered the phone at Yuck Yucks in Buffalo, and I remember he used to show up or maybe not show up, or he'd show up like three hours late or whatever. And I remember one person in Buffalo when he did an interview, he's like, he showed up really late for the interview, and he smelled so much like pussy that it was hard to even like do the interview. But I just fucking loved him. He was so kind to me. You
That's
know?
Cool. I never met him, but I never heard anything bad about him.
I mean, the best story I have is that, I mean, he treated me like a celebrity immediately, like. And I was at the China Club in L.A. and he was.
You know how disappointed he'd be right now. just
now, because Sam loved me. I mean,
35 years old, you're a mess.
Anyway, I slept at his house. I mean, he was just so nice to me. And then I remember we were at the China Club. This is the night he strangles Arsenio Hall for making fun of his brother. And then he finds him in the staircase. But he brought me to the bathroom and he goes, "Hey, come here. I'm going to show you something." And he opens up this magazine page full of cocaine. I haven't seen that much weed. And he goes, "Here, do some of this." And I'm a kid. I'm like, "Yeah, okay." So I do some. And then he reaches into his pocket. He goes, "If you start getting a little freaky, take one of these."
Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah, you know, he was like, I was right out of college. I was like answering the phone at Yuck Yucks in Buffalo. And that's when I met him. He was like, I was a kid. Yeah. I was like 20, you know, and he... But it was so like always like, oh my God, is Sam going to show up or is he not going to show up? Because he was so like.
Yeah, it was a different era.
He was always
so kind to me. He really was.
He had the sweetest heart in the world.
Yeah, he really did. Yeah. And I thought like even that whole set in Rochester, that was he knew that I'm just a local radio kid, that he was putting such a spotlight on me and giving such a, like, it was just a sweet thing, even though like, you go, oh my God, it was so hilarious. That, like, I was fucking Sister Sleaze all night and this, you know, but I thought he knows that he's given me all this like cred with the audience, and I thought that was just so sort of
so giving,
big hearted, kind of.
He's a giving man,
very cool.
Which is so sad and ironic how he dies. He's sober and he gets killed by a drunk driver.
I know, it's crazy.
I just met Artie last summer.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you know how it is when you're a comic. You know people by reputation and you cross paths, but you never actually meet. You know, and last summer in Montreal at the festival.
Yeah.
We met and we started talking baseball. He's a baseball fan.
I know.
And it was cool. It was cool meeting Artie.
No, Artie's a great guy, but Artie, you know, ended up in a really bad place, stabbed himself 9 times.
Yeah.
You know, and drank bleach or something. You know?
Yeah. Hey, yay, yay.
You know.
Well, it's interesting, Alonzo, it's to hear what you were just saying, because when he came in, he was like, "Oh, I just want orange juice." I was like, "Oh, okay." But I thought, like, you know, it is interesting. I've never done any drug, including pot.
Yeah.
I love wine, but I don't. It is interesting how everybody has like a different thing that they go, you know, like, and I think we should allow for that. You go like, that's not good for you. Yeah. I have friends with like, you know, Ambien addictions or antidepressant addictions or whatever. And, you know, for me, I mean, it helps me sleep. I try not to overdo it. I mean, I think there is a moderation thing with anything.
Oh, absolutely. But now it's funny you mention Ambien, like the pill thing now.
Oh, forget it.
It's unbelievable. Like, people are getting hooked.
I've had a doctor say to me, it's probably better to have a couple glasses of wine at night than Ambien and this Lunesta and whatever.
A bunch of stuff that they prescribe. Yeah. I mean, the Oxycontin thing, the heroin in pill form.
Yeah.
You know,
people
are getting hooked on heroin all over. Fortunately, Donald Trump's going to build a wall over Mexico.
Could you believe?
And end America's heroin addiction.
Okay, we're taping this on a Thursday. Okay, so Donald Trump today is just fucking called the Pope a loser.
Yeah.
Because the Pope said, like, he's not Christian if he wants to do what he's doing with the wall and whatever. And he's like, oh, the Pope, it's very disappointing.
Yeah.
But you know something? Donald's not the only one. If you remember when the Pope was here last year, when he said, like, the global warming thing and we need to protect the planet, a whole bunch of right wingers were like, wait, this Pope's not the real Pope.
He's not the right kind of Pope.
He's
not,
yeah.
He's they not were, poping correctly.
Right, they were mad at him. And I'm like, you know something? The Pope's never going to say lower taxes on investment bankers.
You know, that that's Pope, what you're waiting for.
That Pope isn't around.
Oh, my God. No. But John and I were saying, like, you can't write this shit.
No.
I'm like, really? Did
he's bullshit
Trump just
worth.
Dick smack the Pope? Like, really? Like, he was like, Pope is, I don't know.
What religious leader is going to fucking say that? What
get the fuck.
Get the fuck out of here.
Fucking loser. Yeah. What elections he won.
Yeah. Yeah, really.
But you know what I think it is? And I swear, I think that, and maybe this is, you know, but he came out in favor of tolerance for same-sex marriage.
Right.
And I think that must have really pissed off, you know.
Oh, they got mad at him when he said dogs go to heaven. Like some kid asked him, and he said, yeah, dogs go to heaven. And they were like, oh, now we're letting dogs in?
Yeah. Oh,
we're letting dogs in now? You know, next it'll be the black people.
Oh.
They were going to let them in.
Yeah. I mean, Alonzo, we talk about it every day on this show, but is it me? It's the Supreme Court thing. It's just the latest thing of, like, blatant fucking disrespect for this president. It's just like, oh, really? You get only 3/5 of a presidency?
Right.
You don't get to appoint a Supreme Court justice, even though you have a fucking year left.
You know what surprised me? Because I didn't, I love that she did it, but Hillary straight out said, this is racism. This is race once again being, but she, you know, because you know how they'll always, they don't want to say the word. You know what
right.
I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
And she just said straight out, yeah, this is racism against Barack Obama. Of course he's supposed to pick. You know, it's amazing because they love
explain it. It's irrational.
They love the Constitution until something comes up. You know, like, oh, like yeah. I love Ted Cruz. Well, Barack Obama's going to erase the Second Amendment. I think Ted Cruz really believes that Barack can take out an eraser and just rub it out of the Constitution. Like, I think he really believes. Like, it's like, do you understand how government works? You know, no, the president can't remove an amendment from the
right.
Constitution.
Right.
It doesn't work that way.
Well,
but
yeah, but I mean, it just is like, here we go again. But you go, wow, every, you know, even they can say Reagan got to, you know, confirm in the last year of his presidency Saint with
Reagan.
A Democratic
yeah, but
Senate.
He was white. Mm-hmm. He was white. And you know what really bothered me? And I'm sure it bothered you because it really pissed me off. First of all, I was so happy that Barack won. I said, wow, mm-hmm. This country's changing. But what really fucking pissed me off is when Mitch McConnell, when he gets fucking yeah. elected, our main goal is to make sure he's not a second-term president, which means it's really, well, let's hate the black guy.
Right, but, well, it was before that. Literally, the day he was elected,
yeah.
their thing became, let's take our country back.
Yeah.
Yeah, from know, who, motherfucker?
Right. Exactly.
There wasn't much code in that one. But the thing is, if you look at that, that's almost treasonous to say about the president, you know, had it been reversed. You know what I mean? But I think now Barack Obama, to his credit, he's used to this shit. He's like, look, I'm going
to
yeah, nominate a
justice.
He's
used to someone
justice.
Yelling you lie at him in the State of the Union.
Right. He's like I'm going to nominate a justice. It's up to you guys to do whatever you do. And I think he's, one thing I think he's comfortable that he knows and they knows, he's smarter than any of them.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
You know, and it's not, and yeah. not just a little bit. You know what I mean? Like, he is so far ahead and he gets things done. And right. I think it's sad. I don't know if it'll be in my lifetime, I don't think so, but one day history's going to say, this was one of the greatest presidents
I've
ever had.
I say that now.
But it's going to take
wholeheartedly.
Them, it's going to take them 50 to 100 years to get over the bullshit, to look at what he's done and
Alonzo,
say, wow,
I couldn't agree with you more.
Guy
he
was
is absolutely one of the best presidents of our lifetime. Yeah. And you can quantitatively look at, it's not, we're just, you know, spitball. He cut the unemployment rate in half. He saved the American auto industry. He got millions of people health care. We have marriage equality. He got us out of Iraq. He killed Bin Laden. Like, you can go on and on and
yeah.
on.
Yeah, but that son of a bitch still black.
But
he is.
With no an obstructionist Congress, he got all this done.
Yeah. Well,
imagine the Congress was on his side.
And, you know, he's waiting to take your guns. That
yes.
like that one
yes.
still, but
yes.
that still works. You know,
he's
their
tricky
followers,
like that.
Yeah, he's still going to, you know, I think around November, mm-hmm. he's going to pull out the Muslim thing and take all the guns. And,
right.
You know.
Yeah. Of course.
But they know, you know, the Republicans know how to manipulate their base. They know. You know, that's what bothers me the most. Someone like Ted Cruz, he does know that it's not going to happen, but he also knows well, my followers are so dumb that I'll just say one sentence and they'll all believe it, right?
Yeah.
And then they'll, you know, what would be great, the perfect scenario will be President Hillary Clinton nominates Judge Barack Obama
Supreme Court.
It would be so perfect.
That'd be so awesome.
And just watch them all.
Just their heads explode one at a time.
Yeah, I love the look on their face when they do things like that.
But wouldn't you agree, Alonzo, and I've said this from day one, I mean, the Tea Party is essentially the We Hate the Blacks party. I mean,
No, the Tea Party doesn't hate, you can't limit it to blacks.
Oh.
I don't think we've talked about.
Honestly, the Tea Party, you know what the Tea Party is? The Tea Party is white America 1951. And that's what they want. The only minority was black. There were no Latin people or Asian people or anything else. There was only black. Black people were segregated and subjugated. Women knew their place. Women didn't talk back. You know what I mean? It was like Mad Men. That's their wet dream. They watched that
They didn't have radio shows in their basement?
Hell no.
Presumably.
No. The only time you'd be down here is to get your mop and your bucket. You keep that smelly bucket down here. But really, that's the Tea Party, that was their whole thing. Like, they had nothing to do with the Constitution or the Founding Fathers. The Founding Fathers were like, first of all, they hated religion. Like, this whole country was founded because of religious persecution from England.
Yes.
And the Founding Fathers were like, no, church, state, separate. Pray any way you want, except here. This is the government. You know, that was their whole thing. And the whole Second Amendment thing, they keep forgetting the militia. We didn't have an army. That's why we needed a militia. Like, fuck, we have an army now? We don't, you know, but but none of that.
I think you're missing the biggest threat to America right now, and that is Beyonce, as you know.
Yes. And I'm sorry for you that she is black. We knew
it.
I didn't know.
America did not know.
We tried,
Jesus Christ. Why couldn't she?
No, we tried to tell you, you know, back when she married Jay. But
I know.
You guys
We didn't get it.
So, you know.
Did you see the fucking rallies in New York against Beyonce? And everyone's like, oh, we're blue for police. It's like, really?
Yeah.
She's a fucking artist that. All the thing in her video said, stop shooting us because police are shooting black people.
Right.
Like, how is that controversial? They're like, it was a black power formation in her Super Bowl thing.
Police not shooting black people. It's America. What else they going to shoot? and now they're saying these police are like, we're not going to protect her concert and blah, blah, blah.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes, you will. You know how much they pay them?
Right.
You know how much an off-duty cop gets to be at, you know, protecting a concert? They'll be there.
Oh, God. But seriously, that was so mild, that video. I didn't even hit the halftime. I'm like, oh, I didn't even get it. Oh, that was a black power formation. What the fuck?
I didn't get it either, mm-hmm. Although I was 12 years old.
You were drunk. You were 12 years old.
I couldn't see it because your ass was in my way.
All right.
You're dancing.
I was dancing.
And by the way, Alonzo, that's
which was fine.
You know, that's over here is Steph's ass bronzed.
Beautiful.
Thank you.
It's a nice,
thank you.
Slim,
I think we
curvy
got some
ass.
Shit going on.
Good
here.
For you.
Staying for the after
I like
party.
It. I think I am.
Yeah, let's get some shit.
I would have bought
this
shit comment when I'm talking about your ass. That's all I'm saying.
So what else do you have on that little paper? I've never done this way. This is great. You just go down the list.
You do NPR's Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
I love doing Wait, Wait.
Oh, me too. Mm-hmm. It's one of my favorite shows.
Yeah, Wait, Wait is fantastic. It's funny. It's smart. Peter's great. And I'm surprised everyone listens to that show.
I listen.
You get so many people
that
you wouldn't expect. They're like, yeah, I listen to you on Wait, Wait. My favorite one, Chappelle.
Ah.
Dave Chappelle comes, man, I listen to you every Sunday on Wait, Wait. I was like so honored.
Aww.
Because I love, and I said, well, Dave, you know, if you would call the show, they'd lose their fucking minds. Like, they'd be so happy if you ever want. He's like, yeah, if I'm ever in Chicago.
You got to listen every Sunday night.
It's really fun.
I know. Charlie
show.
Pierce, a lot of our beloveds are
all of our. The last one I heard was with Richard Lewis.
Yeah, yeah. It's a great
for those
show.
For those who don't believe I stutter.
And some of the guests are, you know. I did one where we had Alec Baldwin call in. That was great. Alec Baldwin was really funny. They had Kim Kardashian
Wow.
Last year. Yeah.
Why?
And Peter,
wow, by the way, you know who else?
They got
you know
knocked,
who else?
But Peter said she was great.
But you know really? Who I found out who else thinks Kanye West is a jackass? Kim Kardashian.
Yeah, I know.
She's pissed about his new album because there's some stuff in
there.
Well, you know, when Kim Kardashian tells you to slow down on the social media, there's something going
on. There's something going on.
When Kim's like, hey, you know, you're tweeting a little too much.
Yeah. That, whoa. What are you, an attention whore?
Yeah.
No, she...
Take it down a notch.
She's not thrilled with his latest album. She, because one of the songs is, he says, I bet me and Ray J would be friends if we ain't loved that same bitch. Yeah, he might hit it first. Only problem is I'm rich. She didn't like that. Okay. Also, he said, I wake up all veggies, no eggs. I hit the gym all chest, no legs. Yeah, then I made myself a smoothie. Yeah, then me and wifey made a movie. She didn't like that because it's like her sex tape. Yeah. So that was not. Another song he said about Taylor Swift, I feel like me and Taylor might have sex. Why? I made that bitch famous. Kim didn't like that either.
But at this point,
he's classy with a K, that guy.
I don't even know, like, is anyone listening to the music anymore, or is it just Kanye talking? You know what I mean? Like, the music's gone. It's just this crazy, narcissistic, controversial guy who likes to talk, and I don't know who's listening to him.
No. Our friend Dana Goldberg said today that he wants a Kickstarter. He needs money because he's in debt. And we were like, she's like, we could get it if we could all kick him. if you could get some money to kick him, I think it would work.
$53 million in debt. Well,
Right. We
each get a kick. How much is a kick? I wish him luck. You know, good. I don't even know. I don't. It's such a weird thing. Again, it's like talking about your show, how you were ahead of your time. Like, this is a thing, this is a product of the times, that you have somebody like this who has all this fame and everything, but there's nothing behind it. You know what I mean? Like, that wouldn't have happened.
Right.
20 years ago, you couldn't be Kanye.
Yeah.
So now you can.
You know, Margaret Cho said that to us on the Happy Hour, that I was ahead of my time as well. It's good. Let me just say to the kids again, Alonzo, it's good to be right on time. It's good to be on time. If you're ahead of your time... still fucking good.
Yeah.
Are you on the dating sites?
No. A long time ago, and this is before Last Comic, so this had to be 12, 15 years ago, I was on Match.
Yeah, you know, I'm on Match.
I'll give it a shot. And this woman asked me if it was a joke. And she was like, you're a comic. Like, she recognized who I was.
Yeah.
And I said, okay, so I can't do this.
Oh, no, I do it so I can get
people
laid.
I had my friend put me on Match, not as me, to her trying to help me, and it was a complete fucking disaster. Same thing.
I did find out some guy was using my face on one of the, what was it? It wasn't, was it a, it was like a bondage site or an S&M.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, I don't know.
Site or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, somebody, I found out a friend, it was like a friend of a friend, because a friend of a friend hit on this guy, and she's showing my friend the profile, and he's laughing his ass off saying, that's not who you think. That's a comic. He's Alonzo Bowden. And then the question became, so if she did meet him, like, what do you say when you pull the hood off and like, wait a minute, that's not you. So I don't know. I don't know.
I know. I think even like, and you and I are like, you know, whatever it is, even if you're moderately famous, you just can't like, I had one girl show up that was like, can you introduce me to Lisa Vanderpump? I was like,
Yeah, you. I'm not famous by any means, but if people recognize
yes,
you,
you are.
You
but
have
yes,
no.
Yes, you are. But
no,
then,
I mean,
I know,
people
no,
know
another,
me, but you
No, another
you know
one
saying.
Showed up with a pit bull with a cage on its face, and she was like, oh, I this girl that I had a crush on my whole life, and, you know, we were, you know, just met each other again recently, and then she just died in a motorcycle crash like 2 weeks ago. And you were her number one like on her Facebook page. And so I thought I would, I was like, I'm so sorry about your, what?
Yeah, what do you do? Well, you know, it's always scary to me when people think Facebook is real.
Right.
Then I'm always like, you understand this is Facebook. Like, this is not.
Right.
You know, to me, Facebook is high school, right? You have the popular kids and the most of the people middle of the road. And then, you know.
I just got pulled off because they said I wasn't me.
Really?
You said I couldn't prove that I'm me.
I
put your armpit up to the... Oh, that's you.
I can't... my name... someone has my name on Instagram, and they don't use it. and I tried to prove I was me. And it's kind of a pain in the ass. They want you to send them.
Yeah, I had to do that.
Like, you can't get any, you can't talk to a person and they want you to send all this ID stuff.
That's what I did.
Online. I tried. It didn't really work. Now, speaking of, JebBush.com.
Yes.
Okay, here's my thing. If you're too dumb to own your domain name, then you can't be president.
No, you cannot.
If you're that, like every 12-year-old has their domain name already registered. You know what I mean? Like you registered nowadays, you register your domain name, right, when you're...
My son registered all his friends.
Right, right. How did you not register Jeb Bush? What? Who in his campaign was
please
like...
Please clap. Do you understand his message? Please clap. Like,
internet.
Please clap.
Internet.
Oh, my God. I heard a town
what
hall.
What is this internet thing? Really? Oh, that's what the kid
did you hear
is.
That, Alonzo? Jeb Bush does a speech and asks people to clap. Imagine if you're on stage and you go, please laugh.
When I did Wait, the last time I did it, that was the running joke throughout the show. Please clap.
Please clap.
Please clap.
Oh my God, I heard he had a event recently that, you know, it's supposed to, he's taking questions in the audience, and it was like an intervention of them telling him how to fix his, please, for fuck's sake, don't be such a goddamn pussy. Jesus, what the fuck?
When you get to the point that, you know, it'll help me, George W. Bush.
If the most wildly popular president ever.
In anything. That, not just running for president. In any aspect of your life. If you say, you know what I need?
You know what I need?
George W.
Yes.
Bush. Then it's time to just give it up. Yeah. Just back up. Yeah. Back up. Even Trump is like, well, I had Palin, but I wouldn't call Bush. You know?
Oh, Jeb, exclamation point needs Cialis. It's just like, Jeb. Oh,
it's so sad.
Yeah. Well,
and how about Sarah Palin? What the fuck? Why would you bring her out? She didn't help McCain.
No. Well, you know, I don't know what level of crazy Trump wasn't getting that he needed Sarah to reach out to them. You know what I mean? Like what?
You know,
what,
there are some crazies what, I'm missing.
Yeah. There's, you know, there's those inbred guys in the cabins that I'm not really reaching. You know. You know, the volume hunters who take out wolves from helicopters. I haven't been able to recruit that demographic.
Like those,
who can help me with that?
The
right wing and bitter clinging proud clingers.
Yeah.
She's like the little thing on Jabba the Head, on Jabba the Hutt's, shoulder.
Yeah. No, even him, even he was likable. He was likable. Jabba's little, I don't know who Jabba's little second was, but he was likable. We like, you know.
Jesus, it just is really. No, I mean, that's the thing about, we were talking about, like, you know, Bernie blurbed this book called Buyer's Remorse, you know, how Obama let progressives down. I'm like, really? What? Are there a huge amount of Democrats that wish that John McCain and Sarah Palin were fucking in office? I don't think so.
You know,
I don't think that's a big contingent.
I've been in a little thing with a Bernie supporter on my webpage, you know, and I get it. Like, the kid's 20, you know?
Right.
So it's like, yeah, well, you know, because I was explaining to him, I said, look, you demonize Wall Street. Wall Street, that's where the money is. And because I did a thing on my podcast, I said, it's funny, all these little white girls at colleges talking about, you know, we hate Hillary, we love Bernie. You understand you wouldn't be a little white girl at college if it wasn't for Wall Street.
For Hillary.
Like, Wall Street is where your dad keeps the money that's paying for you to not have a job. You know what I mean? So this kid was like, well, you're wrong, and we're young, and first of all, you have no life experience, all right? Because Wall Street is necessary. It's the banking system. It's what works.
Right. And we're not going to abolish Wall Street.
No.
No.
And Hillary, you know, if Hillary just, I wish she had some personality, some sense of humor. I'm supporting her. First of all,
I got to tell you now that she's barking, I say she brings Arsenio back to open for her, and she brings Bill back out on sax. So we're all
sax.
Okay, first of all, brothers ain't giving up the white girl. All right, just ain't happening. We're sticking with Hillary. But when she said that thing about, you know, why did you take $645,000 bucks from Goldman Sachs? You're like, that's what it was paying. Like if you had, you could make that really funny. Like that's what the job paid.
That's what the job offered.
If you had a sense of humor
like
and said it that way.
If a comedy club said, Alonzo, we're going to pay you whatever, you're like, no, that's too much. That's going to look bad.
Listen, I hate Walmart, but if Walmart's like, we got $500,000 for a commercial. It's like, you know, those Chinese kids need jobs. Is what I'm saying.
Wait.
Somebody's got to help those
kids. I don't want to comment on comics, but what, 20 grand just come in the board?
So, it's, but, you know, I understand the Bernie supporters, but, you know, Hillary's right. He is a one issue guy. And this is only, my only problem is this is a situation that the Democrats use to lose from the front.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? This is the kind of situation where they fuck themselves up. You know, like the Republicans, this would never happen. The Republicans, somebody would say to Bernie, all right, look. Get in line. It's Hillary. And this is what we're going to say, and we're going to maintain control of the White House.
Listen, I'm going to take more shit now from my Bernie fans, but like I was talking about a dinner party I was at, you know, a few weeks ago now, but Republican guy was like laughing. He's like, I can't fucking believe you liberals are so stupid. Like, you have the best. He goes, I hate Hillary, but she's the best qualified candidate you've ever had, and you're going to nominate a 75-year-old socialist Jew from Vermont. Like, this is fucking awesome for us.
It's true, because whenever Hillary speaks...
And I'm not saying that as me. Like, I'm like, you know, I'm going like...
It's so obvious she's the most qualified on every issue. Like, when she answers a question, she knows what she's talking
exactly.
about. Exactly. And the other thing, and I was telling this kid this, I said, you know why Bernie will never get elected? Because under his plan, after-tax income drops 10%. Now, granted, he's offering you free health care. Forget it. When you tell Americans they're going to be paying more taxes, you're done.
That's what I told Sean today.
No matter how much you offer them,
Alonzo, I was talking about the fight that Obama had with his huge majorities, which neither Hillary or Obama have right now. Trying to get through. You remember the tax cut for people over 400,000, and then he had to drop it to 250,000. Like, he couldn't even get that. Bernie is absolutely saying, "I'm going to raise taxes on everybody, even below that."
Yeah, it's never going to happen. And you know, I don't know. Maybe now with the primaries and Super Tuesday, like this whole election, it's been, when will the grown-ups start talking?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
And I think the grown-ups are going to kick in. Also, you know, Vermont, black people, Latinos, gays, anyone different, they're not in Vermont. You know, Bernie's never talked to anybody outside of that group, the liberal white group that's up in Vermont and you know, that area. So I think it's going to change. I still think Hillary's going to be president.
Although I will tell you.
My fingers are crossed. I don't think Cruz can win when you get to a national election. I think people realize, like, oh, shit, he's crazy.
Yeah. Oh, shit. I will tell you,
Steph, when you were in the shower, I was watching MSNBC.
Yeah.
I'm glad you put MSNBC at the end of that sentence.
No, but Bernie's catching up to Hillary in Nevada.
It's 50-50. It's 50-50.
Yeah, I mean, so, you know, look, I just think Hillary's better qualified. And I feel bad for you, Steph. I even told Sean this today because there was a tweet hating you because they think that you are trashing Bernie, and you're not.
No.
And you're not.
Not at all.
And I'm the first to say, right? And I said, she's not trashing Bernie. We love them both.
You've gone out of your way.
Yeah.
Thank you.
People are.
And you're
are
a Bernie bro, sort of.
People are getting kind of crazy on that. In the unlikely event Bernie was a candidate, I would still support Bernie.
Me too.
It's not like,
me
it's not
too.
Like Bernie's going to be the candidate and I'm going to be, you know, let me look into this Mr. Cruz. You know, no.
No.
That's not going to happen. But Hillary will be able to get things done. She knows how the system works. And the international community respects her.
Yeah.
That's the other thing. None of these other people have any, you know, international experience. World affairs, they don't know.
Yeah,
They've never been anywhere. They haven't talked to these people. So.
I have to hope America comes to its senses, and I hope that means either Hillary or Bernie. So.
My hope on that is the 2012 election. Remember, we weren't really sure, and then the voting started, and America was like, oh, shit, yeah, we're going with Obama.
That dumb bitch? I don't think so.
The old guy and the dumb bitch?
I don't think so.
Once the grown-ups started voting, so I hope the same thing happens with Hillary. And the other thing is, I think Barack Obama needs to come out and support a Hillary Clinton. And Hillary,
he already has it. But I mean, pretty much without.
But he needs to definitively say it, I think. And Hillary needs to not do what Al Gore did, because Al Gore screwed up. Hillary's got to be like, look.
He should not have run from Bill Clinton's record.
Right. Nope. She's like, if I take over for Barack, nothing's going to change. And people will be like, all right, I'm all good with that. Good. Shit's good.
Yeah.
Shit's good.
Yep.
Yeah.
No, hey. I agree. And I think that, you know, Jay Carney, his ex-spokesman, has said that. He said he's for Hillary.
But he needs to make a definitive statement, though. He's still kind of.
They never, presidents never do that in a primary until it's clear. But, like, I know.
He doesn't want to take that away from Bernie either, because Bernie's a good guy.
He is. You know? Absolutely. And this is an outlier year, and I have said whatever happens, I'm, you know, down with no matter who.
Yeah.
So. Alonzo Bowden, you are fucking fantastic.
As are you. Thank you.
How do we watch your Showtime special? How do we follow you on Twitter?
At Alonzo Bowden, AlonzoBodden. Or if you just look up comic Alonzo, you'll get Cristela Alonzo. Then look at the next one, and that's me, Alonzo Bowden. Google comic Alonzo, and I come up on my website, alonzobowden.com. And yes, Showtime starting tomorrow night at 9. And I hope they're good to me and put me in heavy rotation. They did the last time I had a special.
You're great. You're great.
They're great. So, Stephanie, I'm so happy.
Can you just say you're part of a Rebel Alliance?
Hold on. Hold on.
You're just so sexy. Your voice is so sexy.
You are part of the Rebel Alliance, and you will be destroyed.
Oh, my God. I'm so wet right now. I got to go change my panties.
But Steph, could I just ask Alonzo one thing?
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you mind just after we end this, would you just do some promos for us?
Yeah, I would love for you to do some.
This is the Stephanie Miller Show.
Yeah, yes. I'll do a few of those.
Alonzo Bowden, you are fantastic.
Thank you, Stephanie.
To meet you finally.
Thank you.
Happy fucking happy hour. Alonzo Bowden, everybody.